From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone callers. First up, Wendy, listening in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Wendy.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question for you in regards to predestination.
Yeah.
I looked up the definition. Not that I really had to look up the definition, but it kind of troubled my spirit, and I had my question for you would be this. According to the definition of predestination by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it says, the doctrine that God, in consequence of his foreknowledge of all events, infallibly guides those who are destined for salvation. I'm confused with the scripture that says, all those who believe, to those who believe, he gave the power to become a son of God. And also to the other scripture that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believes in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. And I'm confused in this. I love to share the gospel with people, but to what extent should we encourage people who have not ever known the Lord or who have fallen away from the Lord to even encourage them to come back to the Lord or to salvation if the final end of it is that if they're guided by God to be saved or not, it'll all pan out in the end?
Well, first of all, God ordains the means as well as the ends, and we are the means by which the gospel goes out throughout the world. Secondly, let me say this, that words and phrases take on the meaning that is poured into those words or phrases. So it's very important to recognize that different theologians pour different meanings into the word predestination. And at the end of the day, the meaning that's poured into the word ought to be a meaning that is thoroughly biblical. In other words, the meaning should be derived from the context of Scripture as opposed to being imposed onto the Scripture. But certainly, from my perspective, God created the potential for evil, but he did not create evil. In fact, had he created evil, it would be hard to distinguish God from evil itself. God creates the potential for evil, and that potential was actualized by human beings. But the scripture is very clear that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they should turn from their evil ways and find life. And so those who want a relationship with the Lord have a provision for that relationship through the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is the predestined one. And if we are in Jesus Christ, we are by virtue of that elect. And so all those who wish to have a relationship with the Lord can turn from their sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. Now, there are schools of theology that say that is not possible, that God creates people in such a way that they cannot respond to the gospel. And there are other schools of theology that say that is decidedly wrong. And that is a debate between Christians. But ultimately, that should never become the pretext for not sharing the gospel. We are called to share the gospel so that the gospel can go out throughout the world and so that the kingdom of God can be advanced and ultimately consummated in his second appearing.
Thank you so much, Hank. That was a great answer.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to our phone callers. Next up is Jeff, listening in Marion, Ohio. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. I went to this church for about a month, and a couple of weeks into it, the pastor got up on the podium, and he says that he packs a gun. And he says that he carries a gun because the American Constitution says that he's allowed to. And if I may elaborate for a minute, he has security guards in the church, and I don't know if they're armed or not. I think they are, but I'm not sure. And then about 3 weeks into it, he invited the men to a men's conference in Cleveland where we were going to listen to a Navy SEAL give a lecture. But before he went, he showed a video in the church of these Navy SEALs going down a river shooting a machine gun, you know. And so this whole thing made me kind of nervous, so I've taken a break from that church until I can figure out this problem. I want to get your opinion on the idea of a pastor having guns in his church.
Well, it's a complicated question, and there are a lot of nuances in answering that question. In fact, it is so complicated that we did a debate in the Christian Research Journal. It's called the Gun Control Debate, Two Christian Perspectives. So on the one hand, we have Michael Austin arguing that he would support stricter gun laws. And then you have Ron Gleason, a Reformed Christian perspective on the Second Amendment and guns to keep and bear arms. So this debate is carried on the Christian Research Journal. And quite frankly, when I say it's a highly nuanced question, reading the articles will underscore that, as it were, in red. If a pastor is packing a gun in order to protect the flock, and he has some real reason for that, you know, perhaps you can make a case for it. I personally am very uncomfortable with it. I say I personally am very uncomfortable with it because I didn't grow up around guns, and the whole notion just seems so foreign to me that I can't fathom it. But certainly there
is. I understand.
But again, the article I think would be very helpful to you, and it's the current edition of the Christian Research Journal.
There's another thing to this, and you know, I like this pastor. He's cool in a way, but the way he talks, you know, he's very up on current events and political stuff that's going on, and doesn't like Obama and all that. And the thing that came across to me was, and maybe I shouldn't take this leap, but it sounded to me like he's kind of like edging on civil war in a way. Now, I'm not saying that he is, but it sure. There are times when it sounds like that, you know, and I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and, you know, when the guards came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and Simon Peter pulled out his sword and cut off the guy's ear, Jesus said, put away your sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And that kind of, it just gnaws at me.
Well, again, I think you would very much enjoy this article. By the way, if the justification for the widespread possession of guns is to deter or deal with a possible future tyrannical state, then by the same reasoning, there would also be right to possess tanks and missiles and weapons of mass destruction,
yeah.
Which would be needed to deter a reverse tyranny.
In the, about that.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Jay. Old Hickory, Tennessee. Hi, Jay.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm very well. I'm very well. Thank you for asking. I have a question, and I've heard you talk about this before, and I've just been kind of curious. I've heard other pastors say the same thing. If people that have never chosen to have a relationship with God are going to be separated from Him for time and all eternity, in a place where it's you're saying that hell is just separation from God, and there's nothing really, no other component as described in the word called fire or outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth, all that. They're just simply removed from the presence of God. How can they miss the glorious presence of God and how fabulously awesome it is to be in His presence if they never experienced it in the first place?
Well, we do experience it, though. In other words, no matter where we are on planet Earth, we have a knowledge of God written on the canvas of our consciousness. Not only that, we have a knowledge of God which is given to us in the universe itself. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. And so we have an inbred, as it were, knowledge of God as well as an exterior evidence for God. And so we can turn away from that or we can embrace that. That's the thing. It's not as though we don't know that there is a God. All of us do. Jesus said light came into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But just a quick comment on your word just. Being separated from God for all eternity is not just. It is an extraordinary horror. The metaphors that describe hell, they serve to illuminate the horror of hell. They don't diminish hell. Hell is far greater than the metaphors actually can fully codify. The martyrs experienced fire, but what they did not experience was the horror of being perpetually unloved by the very one in whose image they had been created. I have to leave it at that, but I've written about this in detail in Afterlife. We'll be right back with more.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? If so, prepare to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life in Hank's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Beth, Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have this question about a book that's been going around or hearing it and seeing it on YouTube. It says, Jesus is not God. I know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Could you expound on that for me, please?
Well, yes, but saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God does not mean that Jesus Christ is not very God. Because Son of God certainly points to Jesus Christ in the fullness or the effulgence of His divinity. And Jesus Christ over and over again demonstrated that He was God through the very things that He did. He was able to heal blind eyes. He was able, through His own power, to overcome death and the grave. But in many different places, Jesus Christ overtly claimed that He was God, such that the Jews took His words as being the epitome of blasphemy. And when Jesus said, I and the Father are one, the Jews said, we are not stoning you for the miraculous deeds that you're doing, but because you, a mere man, claim that you are God. So Jesus, again, over and over again, took on the claim of being God. The Bible claims that Jesus Christ is God, and the supernatural works that Jesus Christ did in His earthly sojourn demonstrate that He was God.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jason in Oklahoma. Hi, Jason.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering that, have you had any period in your own walk where you struggled, what they would refer to as a backslide? And if you have, what did you do to help you come out of that?
As I have confessed on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and in various places throughout my writings, I love the game of golf. And although it has brought me great satisfaction over the years, it has been extremely frustrating as well. At certain times, I feel like I am on the verge of setting a new course record, but in other instances, I wonder why I ever started playing golf in the first place. After many years of practicing and playing, I finally stumbled on a secret. When things go wrong, it's not because I'm failing to follow some newfangled faddish formula, but because I have compromised one of the basic fundamentals of the game. And I never cease to be amazed at how quickly things fall back into place when I get back to basics. And what is true with respect to the game of golf is equally true in the art of successful Christian living. When everything goes awry, it also comes back into focus when we focus on the basics. Because when things start to fall apart in our lives, and our life certainly is one series of challenges after the other, we're often tempted to look for solutions in all the wrong places. The secrets to real intimacy with God are always found in getting back to basics. When the winds and waves of doubt beat upon your house of faith, you can return to those pillars and posts that you can hold on to, knowing that God created the universe, Jesus Christ is God, and the Bible's the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, everything necessary for faith and practice. That's an illustration of going back to basics.
Thank you, Hank. I guess my question to that would be, how do you know love is real? I mean, I can say I love Jesus, but I mean, you talk about all the time about your emotions and being careful of your emotions being, you know, not true to what's really going on, or deceiving, I should say. How do you know?
I mean, think about what David said in Psalm 51, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. And then he said, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. David here is demonstrating his love for the Lord, because when he violates the principles of the kingdom, he is brokenhearted by those violations, and therefore he goes to the Lord and tells the Lord, I love you. And it's not just an empty word, because it's not just about a burnt offering or an outer manifestation, but it is the intent of the heart. This is why David was recognized in Scripture as a man after God's own heart, a man whose heart panted after God like a deer pants after the water brooks.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking my call and answering that question for me. I just want to say that for any Christian out there, I told myself 4 years ago that I would never be a backslider, and 4 years now I'm having to question whether or not I'm a real Christian, and I just know that I never would have imagined it would have happened to me, but it did. One little compromise here and one little compromise there, and this is what happens, and so people need to be careful for that.
Yeah, but Jason, here's the thing that you want to ask yourself right now at this very moment. In fact, I'm going to ask you the question, do you want to follow Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is the wisest man who ever lived, and therefore you want to do what he says in terms of living out your life?
I absolutely do, and it's just, you know, you let the world kind of choke you up and, you know, see seeds amongst the thorns kind of thing. So is that seed a true Christian? Can they still make it? Yeah.
Well, the thing is, your answer is the answer. If you say you love Jesus Christ and you want to follow Jesus Christ, you recognize not only that he was the wisest man who ever lived, but also God in human flesh. If you want to follow him, yes, you're going to stumble on the path as you go from this point to the time in which you meet him face to face, but he is never going to leave or forsake you, and even in the darkest moments, he's going to carry you. But you have to recognize that now the indwelling Christ lives within you, so when you look out of your eyes, it is, in fact, wanting to look out of your eyes and see as Christ would see, to be as Christ would do. And that's why you want to use everything at your disposal to participate in the kingdom. But the real operative word is willingness, because we do fall, we all stumble, and certainly I'm one of those that stumble along with everybody else. But my righteousness is not a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. Thank you, Hank. You know, getting into the Word, I think the biggest thing that hurt me is that I stopped reading. After so many years, I read every single page. I loved it, and I loved Jesus, and I just kind of put the Bible aside and stopped going to it. Then I stopped going to church. It's just a snowball of things that happened. Thank you very much for...
Well, thank you for your candor, and what you have pointed out, I think, is helpful to our listeners as well, because if we want to develop intimacy with a human being, let's say with a son or a daughter, or with your wife, it involves the investment of quality time. And the same thing is true with our Lord. And so what you've pointed out is so important for everybody to hear. If you stop going to church, or you stop reading the Bible, or you stop praying, what you do is you separate yourself from God. It doesn't mean that your union with God is gone, but it does mean that your communion with God is broken and that intimacy wanes. Developing intimacy involves the investment of quality time.
Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it, Jason. Appreciate your call. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, we thank those that support this ministry. We simply can't do what we do without you. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. So we ask you to pray for us and to support this ministry, particularly at this junction as we are behind and trying to catch up. By God's grace, we will, as God brings people like you and resources into the lives of people, because that's what it's about. It's not about giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.